And after a few minutes, she still didn't come back. I was confused. And if I'm really being honest, I think I was a little frustrated. You know, you schedule a time to meet with somebody, whatever the occasion is. But in that moment, kind of had a nudge, like, what's going on in her world? She's really pregnant. Maybe what she went to get for food was the only thing that she'd be able to tolerate that day. And like, that's what she needed. Maybe. There's so much that people are carrying and people are walking through that we don't see.
Not every act of care feels natural. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's inconvenient. And sometimes it doesn't go the way you expect it at all. I'm Johan, producer of Neighborly. Today, the roles are flipped. Shannon, who usually sits across the table listening to others, asking the questions, steps into the story herself. And what she shares isn't just about meeting needs. It's what happens inside us when we begin to truly see people. Because care isn't just about delivering something. It's about learning to notice, to listen, to stay curious instead of jumping to conclusions. And along the way, Shannon invites us into real moments, real stories. Stories that reveal how easy it is to lead with expectation and how powerful it is when we choose compassion instead. This conversation might just change the way you see people right in front of you. So let's join Shannon at the table. Shannon, welcome here. I'm looking forward to this conversation because, usually you're starting this conversation and I'm kind of behind the scenes making you sound good. But here I am. I get to ask you some questions. So how you doing?
I'm good. I'm a little more nervous for this conversation, I guess, because usually I just get to hear other people share, but I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this one.
I mean, for our listeners who don't know, you're the regional manager for Care Portal. So we talk a lot about Care Portal on this podcast and we share some of these stories. And this is an opportunity for you to share some of the stories because, well, you're always asking the questions, but you're kind of seeing it from a broader perspective all over the place. So this is great that you can share some Care Portal stories and not just meeting the needs, but also seeing the transformation in people and seeing the people that get to fulfill these needs and the brightness that comes into their eyes when they get to do that. Like that's probably a gift that you get to see.
Oh, it's my favorite thing. When I tell people about my job or they ask like, what do you do? I get so excited every time I talk about it because it really is such a unique point of view. I get to see needs come in from agencies that we're working with and see them, you know, share about the family who needs X, Y, or Z so that they can be supported and stable and successful. And then, you know, have this network of churches that I'm in conversations with and in relationship with and helping empower them to respond to those needs and addressing some of those barriers with them, some of the fears they have. Oh, it's so cool. It's so cool to be at this point of getting to see like both perspectives and the requests coming in and then the stories afterward, which are, you know, the best part, getting just to hear these connections that happen. It's a gift. It's really a gift that I get to do this.
Do you want to go into a little bit more what you do with Care Portal just to explain it for those, once again, like you can never over communicate is one of those things that I've heard in the church world. What exactly is Care Portal and what's your role there?
Yeah, so Care Portal, it's a connecting technology. It is not a ministry in and of itself. It's a tool that can be used. In a nutshell, it's a request and response loop. So a child serving, family serving agency, organization, nonprofit of some kind that's working with families on the ground, they can submit real needs for a specific family into this system, into this portal. And it's app-based, so you can go on your phone and you can see these needs that are getting entered. And it's based on geography. So when a request is submitted, there's a little pinpoint on a map of the general area of where that family lives, not the specifics, of course, for privacy and safety. But then churches that are nearby to that family that I've connected with, that I've trained and shown them how to use the portal, they then have the opportunity to go and meet that family. And not only do they get to provide maybe the tangible items that family needs, But more importantly, it's about that relational connection that they get to have with somebody that is potentially right in their neighborhood, really hidden in plain sight. And now they know about that family. Now they can go help meet a practical need, but also build a meaningful connection with that family.
Now, this is mostly an audio-only podcast, but I don't know if this is going to be a clip or not, but you guys should see how Shannon's face lights up when she talks about this stuff. She's obviously very excited. So for those churches or leaders that are listening and don't have Care Portal, you really should get Shannon in front of you and see that face light up. So that being said, like, as you've gone through this process, as you've seen people fulfill needs, you've probably fulfilled some needs yourself and delivered stuff. What has changed in how you actually see people?
Oh, everything. There's so much. I think what it really comes down to, and we've talked about this, I feel like on every episode this season, which just shows how important it is that people have a desire to be seen. And at the core, I think that really points to our Creator, our Heavenly Father, that we're made in the image of God. And so we're made for connection. We're made for relationship. That's how we're wired. And so when I see churches responding to these practical needs, or when I've been able to do that myself, yes, that makes a difference. The practical needs matter, because sometimes that means it's preventing separation from their family or just helping gain stability, and that's impactful. But when a family, when a person feels seen and feels like there's somebody that's in their corner, that can really change everything. It's shown me how we're just people. Like, it's this human to human connection. That person might have a need, but I can think back in my own life where I had needs that might look similar or might look different. And yet at the end of the day, I was needing to feel seen and loved and cared for, and like there were people in my corner. And so as I've gotten to experience that firsthand, what I'm trying to communicate, Johan, is that, like, how we're all just human. And I don't know how to communicate that any other way, but that we're not that different from each other. We're really not. And it's so easy in this world to get caught up in that. And you spend any time scrolling on social media and you're inundated with just like all of this trauma and all this news and so-and-so and da-da-da-da. And yet at the end of the day, when a mom needs a car seat for her baby and she gets that and she feels like, oh, there's this nearby church that's like here for me. Oh, I think about when I'm going to have a baby and I'm going to need a car seat, and I know that I have family and people in my corner. It just changes the way you think.
So when you're explaining that, like, this podcast is all about stories, telling stories about good neighbors. There's probably a story behind you even explaining that when you're trying to explain what Care Portal means to you and how it's transformed you. Let's go there a little bit. Is there a story behind what you were saying there? Something specific?
Yeah, there's one that really comes to mind. It was about a year ago or so. A request came through for a mom who was pregnant and pretty close to the end of her pregnancy. And so she was needing a stroller and a car seat pretty soon. This was actually a request that I got to bring my parents on, and they hadn't experienced Care Portal yet. They live somewhere else, and I got to kind of show them, here's how it works. And so it was beautiful to get to experience that together. So I had connected with the mom over text, I think, and arranged a time to bring the car seat and the stroller. I'd given her about, I don't know, 15-minute heads up when we were on our way. And while we were on our way there, I think we'd almost gotten to her home, she calls me and says something along the lines of, you know, I had to step out for a minute. I needed to go get something to eat. But my niece will be able to let you in. I'm on my way back, that sort of thing. And I was like, okay, you know, all right, sounds good. So we got to her home and we were parked on the street, and I wanted to wait a few minutes because I was really hoping that I'd be able to connect with her once she got there. So we waited a few minutes. She hadn't come back yet. And so I thought, okay, let's just go knock on the door and bring it in. So we do, and her niece answers the door, and we bring in this big box because it was a stroller car seat combo. you know, we said, hey, do you guys need any help putting this together? There might have been another adult somewhere in the home, but didn't really know who that was. And they said, no, like, we've got it, all good. And we're like, okay, sounds good. So we go back to the car. I thought, well, let's just wait a few more minutes just to have the opportunity to meet this mom, because I really wanted to meet her and know that we see her and that we're here for her. And after a few minutes, she still didn't come back. And so eventually we decided, okay, let's go on with the day. To be honest, when I think back to how I felt in that moment, I was confused. And if I'm really being honest, I think I was a little frustrated. I think those are some normal feelings to maybe experience, I think, with anybody. You know, you schedule a time to meet with somebody, whatever the occasion is, and they don't come, and you're like, oh. But I think especially as believers, we are called to go a little bit beyond the surface level. And in that moment, kind of had a nudge, like, what's going on in her world? She's really pregnant. Maybe what she went to get for food was the only thing that she'd be able to tolerate that day. And like, that's what she needed. Maybe. Or, you know, maybe she was overwhelmed and needed to just step out of the house for a second. Maybe. Or maybe she didn't know how to receive help yet. And it was hard for her to process like receiving this item. I don't know. And frankly, that doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter what the reason was, but it was a moment of acknowledging there's so much that people are carrying and people are walking through that we don't see. And moments like that, that moment specifically helped me to pause and really realize so much of life I interpret through my own expectations instead of compassion. Or my own expectations come first and compassion comes later. And I think if we can get to a point through experiences like this and really putting love into action, we start to kind of flip that and start with compassion and say, yeah, maybe it was an inconvenience to me that, you know, that person was late to something, or you know, I had to go out of my way to bring a mom a meal who had just had a baby, or whatever the thing might be. When we can step outside of ourselves and put ourselves into someone's shoes, I think that leads us to be a lot more like Christ.
I find it interesting. Like, there's a lot of good ministries and good organizations doing good things by doing similar type deliveries, hampers, all this sort of thing. But the story you just told, it felt like it really wasn't about the physical item and getting it to them, but you were really wanting to get that connection piece to that mom. Like, you really wanted to connect with her, and that's where it bothered you a little bit, right? It's like, I really want connection. So what makes Care Portal a little bit different there? I hear those types of stories all the time when we talk about Care Portal, is people wanting to make that meaningful connection rather than just delivering the item.
Yeah, that's really the core of this, is that connection with somebody. And there's so many amazing ways that churches are getting creative with engaging in their communities. It can be really beautiful to see, you know, different activities and different programs, and those are not inherently bad. But what can be a danger, I think, at times is when we forget the point of what those activities and programs are trying to get us to in connecting with community. If we get too caught up in the details and the system and the shopping list and the to-dos to get ready for that event, and then maybe forget, oh, what is this event even for in the first place? That's what I love so much about Care Portal, is it just brings it down to that one-on-one connection with a family right there.
Okay, so you shared a personal story. What about when a church responded? Do you have any moments or stories where you saw a church or community show up in a way that you'll never forget?
Yeah, there's a story that I often share when I'm meeting with churches for the first time, because there's so many stories, but this one really gets to the heart of what we're even trying to do here. A while back, there was a dad who was a single dad, and I believe he had been experiencing homelessness and was now in housing, and it was beautiful. And so he was working on reunification with his daughters. I think he had two young girls. And the request came through that he needed some simple furniture. I think it was maybe a dresser, maybe a kitchen table and a microwave, just some, you know, basic household things. And the request said that, you know, this would help him be able to start having visits with his daughters again if he could get these items in his home. So a church who was, I think, blocks from the family, or a church responder who lived, you know, just a few blocks away from this dad, responded, and pretty sure in partnership with some other churches, they were able to get those items, and they go and connect. Not only did they just bring the items, but they stayed and they chatted with the dad, and they ended up watching the Jets game together and just sitting down and being together for a little while as neighbors. And later we heard that when his daughters did get to come visit, they ran into their room. They were so excited to see their space all set up for them. And I think what I always am so just amazed by with this story is the proximity, that there was a dad this close to someone from a local church. They were hidden in plain sight. They were right there. And all that was needed was a way to connect, a way for this need to be brought forward in some way, and this neighbor to say, yeah, I'd love to go connect with this dad. They just needed a way to know about each other. And that's what happened. A need was shared through the caseworker, the social worker for this dad, and someone who was in the neighborhood said, yeah, I'd love to meet him. That's just beautiful to me.
And that's one of the things that you mentioned with fulfilling these needs. Like, it's not just about that one-on-one connection. Like, we're really trying to bring networks of people to surround people. Like, we're bringing different organizations together to fulfill these needs, to make connections with people. So it's not just that one-on-one connection, but we're really trying to bring organizations together. What have you seen with, like, the networking of different groups of people coming together to support these families?
Yeah, the connections with families are so powerful and impactful, but the whole networking and cross collaboration that happens is, in my opinion, just as meaningful. Because in communities, you have, yes, you have churches that are pillars and sometimes long established places. You also have government agencies working. You have social workers who are there trying to support families. I think of mental health counselors and all of these different supports that are out there. But so often what happens in today's world is everyone is operating in silos. I don't think it's a lack of desire to coordinate and collaborate, but I think how to do that in practice can get hard. And that can be where it's just like, how do we come together in a way that's efficient and really meaningful? And so what we've gotten to see through this network is churches coordinating with social workers and nonprofit organizations partnering with, you know, these church responders. And sometimes we even are able to have local businesses like Kildonan and MCC Thrift. They're a part of this as well. And so all these intersecting spaces and entities working together in a way that's actually quite simple and doesn't take a whole lot of, relatively speaking, there is some effort that has to go into, you know, these partnerships, but there's an element of cross-sector collaboration, or what we'd maybe call collective impact, that is hard because partnerships can be messy. But when we embrace that messiness sometimes and are able to use a tool like this to streamline sharing needs and needs being met and churches and agencies and government working together, the impact goes far beyond what we could each do in our own lane.
And the church working alongside these government organizations and community organizations is really cool too. Like, that's not something that is typical historically throughout the church, where the church can work really well with community organizations.
Exactly. And more every day, I am convicted again and again of how the church is called to show up in this space. I have immense gratitude for social workers. I have friends that are social workers. We have people on our team that are. And what they are carrying day in and day out is unbelievable. And the mental health counselors in our cities, what they're walking with people through, and the government agencies and supports and benefits that are out there, you know, they're all of these are in an effort to support people, but they can't carry that alone. And the church is called to do this as well. I love the church. I was raised in a local church. I'd call myself church girl. And I believe in God's plan to use the church to reach people with hope, because we know where the hope is. It's in Jesus. And so should the church be involved in caring for the widow and the orphan? Scripture's pretty clear about that.
And we've got churches on every corner. We are in the communities. Like, what an opportunity.
That's right. There's churches all over the place. And I can understand that sometimes it's not that churches don't want to help, but sometimes it's just like, where do we start? Especially if they're in a community with a lot of needs, or maybe they're more in a more affluent or less impoverished area and they want to help, but they're like, how do we access those needs and how do we support? And so that's what I love about my job, is I get to help churches identify the barriers for them in engaging in community and then help remove those barriers. Because when we put our love into action and we rally around people who don't have a community of support, and we as the church get to show them what that looks like, that is really embodying, I think, what the church is supposed to be.
And like you mentioned earlier, it's very geographical, right? So there's an opportunity there for churches being on every corner to check in again after, to follow up, to be that continuous connection, because that's really what people need and are longing for, is that continuing connection.
Yeah, 1000%. I remember hearing about a family who was asked to write down their circle of support. And I think this was, they were in a caseworker meeting of some kind. And every name that they wrote down was someone who was a paid professional. So whether it was their social worker or their counselor or whatnot. And ever since I heard that story, it has stuck with me. Because I think about, if I were asked to do that, I'd start with my parents. I'd start with our pastors. I have mentors in multiple countries now and regions. And that is such a blessing. And I'm so rich because of that. My husband and I are so rich with relationships that there'd be so many people I could share. And to imagine that there are some, actually a lot of people that aren't able to do that. Yes, it breaks my heart, but then it fires me up because I know there's churches on every corner that are called to be that. And that's where they can really step in a meaningful way through relational, consistent care. Not just showing up once, but actually remembering someone's name, sending a text a week later after they dropped off that car seat and saying, hey, mom, how are you doing? You know, do you need anything this week? Can I bring, you know, a meal over? Or, you know, are you getting ready to go into labor? Whatever the thing is, it's relational, it's consistent, and being present shows people that they're not alone.
You mentioned remembering someone's name. Just that recognition and that continuous connection. Is there a face or name or moment that you still carry with you every day?
Yeah, there's definitely a face and a moment that sticks with me. Last summer, a request came through for a mom who was due with a baby. She's a first-time mom and was feeling pretty anxious and needed pretty much everything. She didn't really have anything. And so there were a few key things that she was going to need to begin with, but also just some of the other basics for a new baby beyond that. And there was somebody from my own church, actually, who had fostered and adopted, and had just told me, you know, if you ever need baby items, I've got so much. And so I contacted her. I said, hey, now's the time. We're ready for those things. So I picked them up from her, and this mom was in a much different part of the city. So I was able to connect with a church who was closer to where she is. And one of the young ladies there came along with me, and we had our car packed full of things. And when we got there, and got to meet her, she was overwhelmed. She was overwhelmed in the best way. She cried and I cried because I was so challenged and convicted by her courage. The strength it takes to say, I don't have all the things I need, but I'm willing to receive them. Hearing a little bit about her story and some of the circumstances leading up to this beautiful baby that was going to be born, I just felt like such an honor, such a gift to get to go and connect with this mom that I wouldn't have known about otherwise, and show her that there are people that see her and that are here for her. That's really a moment that I won't ever forget.
I would say doing some care portal requests myself, I wish we all had those stories and those people that we can go back and remember and keep us compassionate and keep us wanting to see more people find those connections. And I think there's opportunity for the church to grow in this, obviously. Like, this is, it's not always easy for churches to know how to do this and access ways to get into their community. But care portals, I mean, we don't want to sound like an infomercial here, but care portal really is a good way of doing that.
Yeah.
So let's go back to your job as the regional manager a little bit. We're going to close up here right away, but what are some things that you've learned through some of these moments of connection, through seeing churches fulfill needs? Maybe just share some of those learning moments.
Yeah, there's a bunch. And I think one thing to address too, something that I always communicate when I sit down with a church for the first time and share about this opportunity, I shared this in the beginning of the episode here, that yes, we're talking lots about Care Portal, and we don't want it just to feel like an infomercial, but that's the thing. It is just a tool. And so this is a great tool, but in the hands of a church who's able to use it and make it part of their ministry and integrate it into their ministry as an outreach tool, that's where things can change and that's where impact can happen. And what I've learned through that is, so often I think people overcomplicate what it means to care. We think we need to have a bunch of time in our schedule. Sometimes we feel like we need to have it all together ourselves, or, you know, have a degree of some kind to do this. And that's not it at all. I think what people want the most is for someone just to listen. Think back to an episode that we did with Pastor Steve Griffin from Calgary, and he talked about this exact thing that he's experienced when working with people experiencing homelessness. More often than not, people just want someone to listen to them beyond the stuff themselves. So slowing down really matters. And I think the beauty of a tool like this is that you don't have to find the needs yourselves. We're already partnered with trusted agencies and trusted organizations in the city that are already doing this in a very dedicated, boots on the ground kind of way. They know where the needs are. They have people coming to their doors already. This is an invitation for churches to show up as neighbors, not as experts, not as child welfare professionals, just as friends, as neighbors. And so there's just such an easy, practical way to step into that kind of care. You're not supposed to be a savior who has all the answers, who has all this kinds of training. We equip you with some tools for sure, and that's helpful, but you get to just be somebody who cares, and you get to help your church lean into this posture of caring for those right outside your door. With care, it doesn't mean you have to have the right answer for somebody right away, but you're willing to step out of your comfort zone. You're willing to be the kind of person that in times of loneliness or isolation yourself, you've wanted. You just notice. You listen, and you're willing to show up for others. And so I think this week, as you are going about your day-to-day and your world, and things don't go the way that you expect, or someone doesn't respond the way that you thought they would, ask yourself a simple question of, what might be going on in their world? Because more often than not, there's always more to the story.
Yeah, so let's go get those stories that are going to sit with us. like the stories Shannon shared that are going to transform us and keep us compassionate people. That's really beautiful. So Shannon, what might be keeping people from actually jumping into this and getting those stories that stick with them, some of those stories that you have that stick with you and keep you compassionate? What do you think is holding us back?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is fear. And that's not always something that I hear people name specifically, but is one of the barriers that's going on internally, whether it's insecurity of whether they, you know, feel equipped or feel like they have the ability to go in and do this and meet a need like this, or they're just uncertain of, you know, what is this family walking through? There's so many, I think, limitations that we place on ourselves, but also on God, that we think we're going out into the world on our own, and he quite literally sent an advocate and a helper. He sent the Holy Spirit to walk with us. And so when we change our posture to one of, wow, I get to engage with a family in my community and I'm not doing it alone, I'm helping them feel not alone, that changes everything. And that would be my encouragement to any of our listeners, is that you look internally and you reflect on when that resistance comes up, or when those feelings of holding back come up, that you'd actually challenge yourself to press in and to stay, to engage in the opportunity when it comes up, because that's where real change can happen.
And stretching ourselves beyond fear is a great way to grow.
That's right.
Thanks so much, Shannon.
Thanks, Johan.
The stories we share here remind us that care does not have to be perfect to be powerful. It just has to be present. Neighborly is an initiative of Care Impact, a Canadian charity equipping churches, agencies, and communities with technology and training to care better together. This episode was produced by Care Creatives Co., a social enterprise of Care Impact. If you're building a podcast and want help with strategy, editing, or full production, visit carecreativesco.ca to connect with us. I'm Johan. Thanks for listening. And keep being the kind of neighbor someone will never forget, in a good way. Sister, take my hand.